I greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you this morning. Good to be together once again, sharing around God's Word and looking into His Word. Last year at our fall district ministers meeting, about twice a year, we as the Faith District Ministry from Word of Life here, Faith and Crosspoint, we get together about twice a year, discuss different things. Anyway, last year at our fall district ministers meeting, we talked about the seven different ordinances that are important pillars of our faith, and these ordinances all have a practical doing side that go along with them. And we talked about that'd be a good thing to spend some time teaching and preaching on, and looking through the ordinances that are a part of our Christian lives, are a part of our church, and some of the things that we do. The seven ordinances, if you're wondering, okay, what are the seven ordinances? The seven ordinances are water baptism, communion, feet washing, headship covering, the holy kiss, anointing with oil, and marriage. And those are the seven different ordinances. I don't believe we started here yet at Word of Life, so I think I get to kick off the first one here this morning and sharing on one of the ordinances. Just one of the observations as we think about the ordinances, this one I wanted to mention as I was preparing for the message here and just thinking about the different ordinances, except for the headship covering, the other six ordinances are kind of hard to do by yourself, or very hard to do by yourself. It's kind of hard to share in communion by yourself, or kind of hard to wash your feet by yourself, or anoint yourself with oil, or share in the holy kiss. Marriage, you can separate that from the church. You can separate that from the church, but there again, it involves another person. And what my thought process was, I observed that, just thinking about that, was how that within the ordinances in the scriptures, within the way that the ordinances are, that God laid them out, it is automatically baked in of the importance of the local church, the importance of a body of believers where you're part of a local church, you're known by them, you're involved with them, and you're committed to them. And so it's just neat the way that God put that together. So that's not our topic here this morning. Just a thought that I had as I was thinking about the ordinances. Probably of the seven ordinances, probably the one that is the least favorite, or the one that we maybe think about the least, is our topic this morning of the holy kiss. Or I've entitled the message, the Christian salutation or the holy kiss. And so as I approach the sharing of this message this morning, I'm going to be very honest with you in that I am fairly uncomfortable. And I'm guessing you're maybe a little bit uncomfortable too as we dig into God's Word and think about the holy kiss. So if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable here this morning, know that I am too. And I think probably the reality of that is while the holy kiss is one of the ordinances, and as we're going to see it in Scripture this morning, it's not something that we're doing. It's not something that is a readily practiced within Word of Life, the Faith District, not just the Faith District. It's a topic that's not too popular. So this morning, I want to briefly look at three different types of greetings that we observe in the New Testament. It's going to kind of give you a roadmap of where we're going this morning. We're going to look at three different types of greetings that we observe in the New Testament. We're going to talk about the question of why the holy kiss today. And then we want to consider some objections, talk about some substitutions, what does that look like, and also just some practical considerations around the topic of the holy kiss. So three types of greetings. We want to do a quick overview, a quick observation of three types of greetings in the New Testament. You can turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 4. For a beginning of scripture, we're not just going to focus in on one scripture, we'll be jumping around a little bit here this morning. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out the 70. He's sending them out two by two. And as he sends them out, he gives them some very specific instructions on what they are to do and what they are not to do. Here in Luke chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus is giving these instructions. And note what he says. He says, "Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." So Jesus is saying that as you're going out, he's commissioning the 70 to go. He says, as you go out, do not pause to greet people along the way. And so I'm pointing this verse out simply to note that a common greeting or a common saluting, saying hi to somebody, goes way back. And what I imagine here is what Jesus had in mind is maybe just putting it today's practical living. You have a very busy day and you have a lot of things to get accomplished. And one of those things is you need to pop into Walmart and grab a few items. And as you walk into Walmart, you see somebody, we'll say from church, down another aisle, and you're like, oh boy, if I say hi to them, we're gonna get into conversation, we're gonna get to chatting about everything that's going on, and I'm going to lose too much precious time. And so we make a different route throughout Walmart and make sure we don't cross paths with them so we can keep on moving. I've done it, maybe you have too. What I didn't realize is that, well, it's actually biblical, you know? Jesus said, don't greet anybody along the way, you know? Your time is important here, go. Not quite. But what Jesus essentially was saying is that it is urgent to get the gospel message out. So don't pause along the way to greet somebody. Now, we're not going to dig into all of what Jesus had in mind here, just to point out that a common greeting, a personal greeting, good morning, Joe. How are you? Hey, Stan, how's your day going? Levi, good to see you this morning. Jim, welcome. Good to see you. It's just a common greeting was something that was around in Bible times. That's one of the types of greetings that we see. If we were to jump over into Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, Jesus is you know, calling out different things that his disciples are supposed to do, how they are to be different. You don't need to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Just a verse I want to point out. And Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, he says, and if you salute your brethren only. In other words, he's saying, if you only say hi to your friends and to your brethren, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. He's calling his disciples to a higher standard of living, of love. And if we only greet our friends, we're no different than everybody else. And Jesus is calling us to be different. So again, I'm simply pointing out that in the New Testament, we have this idea of just a simple personal greeting, something that we do all the time. One of the types of the greetings in the New Testament. Another type of greeting in the New Testament we see in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. It's called the right hand of fellowship. Paul says, he writes here, he says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. What Paul is saying here is that I'm imagining there was a discussion between Peter, James, and John, and Paul and Barnabas about the gospel going out. And when Peter, James, and John, Cephas, Peter, when he saw, when they recognized the grace or what God was calling Paul and Barnabas to, they said they gave them the right hands of fellowship. In other words, they shook hands and said, God bless you. I don't know what they said, but blessed them as they went forth to, as Paul and Barnabas went to the Gentiles, and Peter, James, and John continued on their work to the Jews. Again, just noting a greeting in the New Testament, a common handshake. And this is something that we're very familiar with today. We shake hands, I don't want to say all the time, but it's such a common practice in today of greeting people. We meet somebody for the first time, we shake their hands, we see a friend that we haven't seen for a while, we give them a handshake, we have a business deal that we talk through, we negotiate a business deal, and after we have negotiated that and agreed upon it, we shake hands on it. Or maybe you've had a conflict and you're working through something with somebody and you come to an agreeable end and you shake hands on it. Not a new practice, not something that we invented here of modern origin, but something that was throughout the scripture times as well. The right hand of fellowship. After a person is baptized, part of our practice is that after a person is baptized, I'll give you the right hand of fellowship. In the name of Christ and the church, I give you the right hand of fellowship. A symbol of an agreement, of a togetherness, of a friendship. So again, another greeting that we see within the New Testament, the personal greeting to salute somebody, greet somebody along the way. We have the right hand of fellowship or the handshake. Then our topic this morning, or the one that we want to dig more into this morning, is the holy kiss, the greeting of the holy kiss. And I would say this is probably the most obvious greeting throughout the New Testament, and the New Testament that is specifically called out, yet one that we don't see much of today. So there are five verses that mention the giving, that give the instruction of the holy kiss. And so I'm going to read through them. I'm going to put them on the screen and read through them, and then make some observations after we have noted these five verses. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 says, "Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 20 says, "All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 simply says, "Greet one another with an holy kiss." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, "Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that you, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Couple of observations I just want to point out before we continue on here, just a couple of observations about these verses here. The first one is simply that all five of these verses that talk about the holy kiss are in the last chapter of the book that they're written in. They're in the last chapter. And so it seemed like it was a somewhat fairly common occurrence that at the ending of a book, the author would send greetings to where that book was going to. Kind of the same idea as if you're with somebody and you know that they work with another friend of yours, or they live in the same community as another friend of yours, and you'll say, "Hey, say hello to so-and-so for me," or "Say hi to somebody for me." You pass that greeting along. And so maybe that was somewhat, as a book was wound down, there was these greetings passed along, and then also the direction or the instruction to greet one another with the holy kiss. Or another maybe way that a book was closed out was with a set of concise instructions towards the end of the book. The second half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 gives a list of very short directives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, abstain from all appearances of evil," and we also have the instruction in that list to greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. So again, just an observation about the location of these instructions about the holy kiss within the New Testament. The second observation that I have in looking at these is that the action word, or the greet or the salute word, is the same Greek word that is translated either greet or salute. And this word, the English letters I have there, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. This word appears roughly 60 times in the New Testament, and it's always translated either greet or greeted or salute or saluted or saluting, somewhere in some form like that. And it has the meaning to enfold in the arms, to salute, to welcome, to embrace, to greet, or salute, or to take leave. So it's a word of greeting. And I would say on surface level, it's maybe just a common word of greeting, and just a simple passing a greeting along. But maybe there is a level of more warmth that it is embodying, as the one definition that's given there is to enfold in the arms, or to embrace in a greeting, where there's a connection, there's a sharing of peace or fellowship or an embracing of love because of a relationship that we share together in Christ. However, of these verses that we're looking at, there is also a specific direction on how we are to greet each other. It's not just greet one another or not just salute one another. There's a special there's a directive of how that is to be done. It is with the holy kiss. And just so we know what we're, just to break down, or we're on the same page when we think about the holy kiss, word holy simply means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless or religious, ceremonially consecrated. And we all know what a kiss is. So three types of greetings we reviewed quickly here this morning, or looked through this morning. We have a personal greeting where we simply say hello to somebody. We have the right hand of fellowship, the shaking of hands, that we very commonly have, and we also have the holy kiss. So now I would like to pivot and just talk about the question of why the holy kiss today? Or maybe I should ask the question more like, is the holy kiss for today? I chose the word why in that. Why the holy kiss today? A lot of the information that I have that I've pulled together for this, as I looked into this, is from Daniel Kaufman's book, The Doctrines of the Bible, an excellent study. I've also have a few different sources mixed in with that as well, but relied heavily on his writings as I prepared for this. So, why the holy kiss today? First of all, it is a symbol of love. It is a symbol of love. I think we would all agree that a kiss is a universal display of affection. Whether that's shared between husband and wife, whether that's a parent to a child, or two friends that in some cultures, as they greet each other, a kiss is used to as part of that greeting. It's a show of affection. It's a show of love. It's a symbol of love, just a kiss by itself. So as we think about that, a distinctive trademark of Christians is to be our love for each other. As Christians, we are to be known by our love for each other. You can turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. While you're turning there, I'm going to read what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So as Christians, we are to be marked, we are to be known by our love for each other. That's a way that we can, that people are to observe that we are Christ's followers, is by our love one to another. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, follow along as I read verses 10 through 18, and note the connection that John writes here of a correlation between our love for God and love for each other, how he pulls those two together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We could spend a lot of time this morning simply unpacking all that John has here in this passage of Scripture. And we're not going to dig too deep in here, but we simply want to note, we simply want to observe the connection between our love for God and our love for each other. That as Christians, we should have a deep love for each other. We're not to be surprised, verse 13 says, we're not to be surprised by the world hating us. That's to be expected, that we're not appreciated by the ungodly or by those that are not Christ's followers. That's to be expected. But we are to have a deep love for each other, for the brotherhood, for within the church. And in verse 18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, our love for each other should move us to action. Our love for each other should move us to action. Now, in context here of what John is talking about is linked back to verse 17, where he talks about he that has the world's goods and see his brother in needs and shut up his bowels That's what John is talking about. But if I could just stretch this idea of our love for each other moving us to action to our topic this morning, and a symbol of love in the holy kiss. Do we have that deep love for each other? Do we as a church have that deep love for the brotherhood that it moves us to where we feel that connection of appreciation for each other, where it moves us to action, it moves us to caring about each other, yes, in many physical ways, but also that we're okay with showing, demonstrating that Christ's love for each other through the holy kiss, through the sharing of the holy kiss. You know, As I've pondered this and as I've studied this, I've wondered, you know, are we as a church, are we as a group of people, are we as a body of believers, is our love for each other at the temperature or the level of what Jesus envisioned in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and what John is writing here in 1 John chapter 3? Is our love that fervent for each other? That it almost just naturally flows itself that we want to show each other how much we care about each other and how much we love each other. Like it just kind of flows out of that deep relationship that we have with each other. Are we living it out as Jesus had in mind, the love for each other? The mindset of society today is be your own person, be an individual, you know, just do as much as you can on your own, be as independent as you can. But that's not the way that God designed the church. As I mentioned in the beginning about all the different ordinances, it's baked in being part of a church. God designed the church where we care deeply about each other. We love each other deeply. And so I wonder if we deepened our love for each other, if the subject, the ordinance of the holy kiss would maybe come a little bit easier for us if we deepened our love for each other. So that's one of the why the holy kiss today. It is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of love. And as Christians, we are to be known by our love for each other. We're to be noted by our love for each other. The second thought as to why the holy kiss today is it is a New Testament command. It is a New Testament command. Daniel Kaufman, in his book, Doctrines of the Bible, he says, "Here is plain scripture, easily understood by those who in the spirit of holy regard for the truth of God's word and fervent love for one another want to know and to do God's word." Also, Harold Martin, in his commentaries on Romans chapter 16, verse 16, that I read earlier, his commentaries, he says, "The instruction to greet one another with a holy kiss is not practiced by most Christians of the West today, yet it is one of the most easy to follow commands in the Bible. It's not hard to understand. The word holy guards the kiss against any indiscretions when engaging in the practice." He continues in his writing, and he says, "Observing the command to use the kiss as a form of greeting was restored by the Anabaptists and Pietists because they set out to practice the New Testament as it is written. They kept in mind, of course, the laws of proper Bible interpretation. The Anabaptists and Pietists honestly tried to take the Bible for what it says and did not seek ways to detour around it or to reinterpret it." I think for me, as I look at this, I think this is where it kind of gets really uncomfortable as we think about the holy kiss and the scripture, and it's clearly within God's word, and yet it's something that we don't do. It's something that we're not practicing, that we're not actively utilizing here within our congregation. And so I would like to encourage us as we think about this the subject of the holy kiss, is let's remember that it's coming to us through God's word. It's not something that Stan and Levi and Josh sat down and cooked up, or the faith district ministry came together and put together. It's clearly within God's word. Let's start there. Okay, as we think about the holy kiss, let's start there. Let's remember that it is from God. It's from His Word. It's from the Holy Scriptures. It's in the New Testament. So why the holy kiss today? It's a biblical command. It's a directive. It's an instruction for us as Christians as we follow and endeavor to follow God's Word. Another thought I have is as to why the holy kiss today is it is a holy kiss. And I want to focus on that word or think just really zero on that word holy to help us understand the appropriateness with it and the safeguarding that is automatically there with it as we think about it as a holy kiss. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says that we are a chosen generation, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice that He says that we are a holy nation. God's children are to be holy. We are striving to be holy. We're striving to live according to God's Word. We're striving to be more and more like Jesus, like God, more and more as He is in holiness. So that protects His action. It is holy. It is something that we are doing because we desire to live in accordance to God's Word. We desire to be that chosen generation. We desire to be that royal priesthood. We desire to be that holy nation. Not that we're proclaiming that we are holy, but that we're desiring to live in obedience to God's Word. We're desiring to be what God desires His people to be. A holy people, a holy nation, separated unto God. As we think about the ordinance of the holy kiss, we're not responsible for the other person. We're not responsible for other people. We're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves that we are living our lives and drawing closer to God. We're not practicing or utilizing the holy kiss to make ourselves holy, but that we are living in obedience to God's Word. So why the holy kiss today? Because God calls us to be a holy people. It's a New Testament command. It's a symbol of love. And the last one I want to share with you this morning as to why the holy kiss today is that it is for all the brethren. It's for one another. Of the four times that it is mentioned there in the New Testament, the word one another is utilized. Greet ye one another or salute one another. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, it uses the word all the brethren or those within the church. So I mentioned this, and forgive me for maybe being a little bit pointed as I studied into this or as I looked into this. I mentioned this as to why the holy kiss is because it's for the entire church body. It's not just for the ministry. It's not just for the ministry among themselves or for the ordained or for the ministry to share with you. It's for everybody. God's instruction in this didn't call out a subset of members or a subset of people within the church, but it's for everyone within the church. It's a practice that God designed for or that is written to us within for the whole church. So four thoughts there that I give to you to ponder as we think about the holy kiss, why the holy kiss today. It is a symbol of love. It is a New Testament command. It is a holy kiss, guarding it, keeping it where it belongs in holy. And it is for one another or for all the brethren. It's for all of us together, not just specific people within the church. Now, I would venture to guess that if I were to open it up here this morning and say, what are your thoughts? What are your objections? What are your considerations? I would venture to guess we could have a long discussion about it, which I would love to do because it tells me you're engaged, you're thinking, you're wrestling with the subject at hand. I do want to just kind of address or try to talk about talk practically about this whole subject. We want to look at some of the objections. We want to talk about substitutions and just some practical considerations as we think about the holy kiss. Some of the objections to it that I come across as I study or talk about it is it's awkward. And I would say that there is truth in every one of these objections. It's awkward. It's inconvenient. It's a good way to pass a cold around or pass germs around. It's just simply it's out of date. That was for the New Testament in that time. What about the homosexuality implications? What does that have to do with it? And it's not really that important of an ordinance. It's something that's there. It's not really that important of an ordinance. And you know, when I hear these objections, I hear these things that are pushed back against what are just given to us. I get it. It's something that it's a reality that we all wrestle with. And I'm not going to go through a list of objections or this list and try to take care of them all or point out why it's not a good objection or why we shouldn't be thinking that. It's a reality. It's something that there's a tension there that we all feel, tension. There's just something that there is that's there with it all. So I'm not desiring to argue. I'm not desiring to put together the best argument that I convince everybody that, yep, this is the only way to look at it. Rather, I would suggest that as we think about it, is that we start with the realization, or we start with the understanding that this is something that's within Scripture. This is something that is within God's Word. And we start there and we look at it of how does that apply to me? How do I make right application of God's Word? How do I make sure that I am living in obedience to God's Word? We start there. Not start with all the objections, but rather we start from a position of I want to look at God's Word, and I want to desire to do what God expects us to do. Probably the one topic that probably brings the most discussion is around just our culture, society today, homosexuality, all that comes along with it, which makes it challenging because it's a reality. It's a reality of something that we want to be aware of. And we want to be aware of culture and what it has, the implications that it has. But I want to give you just something to think about as we think about culture and Scripture. We want to remember that culture does not change Scripture. Culture does not change Scripture. Rather, Scripture changes culture. We want to keep that in order. We want to keep that to where it belongs, because when it happens frequently, it happens all the time that Scripture and culture collide. They meet each other. And when we find ourselves at a decision point of looking at Scripture and looking at culture, we have to order it correctly, that we look at Scripture and we allow Scripture then to dictate how we live, not vice versa, not the other way around. We don't allow culture to tell us how to live out God's Word. Doesn't mean, I'm not at all saying that we ignore culture and that we say it has no relevance. Not at all. It's relevant, but we need to have it in its proper place. And that thought process leads us into the idea of substitutions. Is the specificity of the instructions applicable today? Is the specificness that is within the Scriptures applicable today? Or can we simply substitute that for a handshake, for a hug, for a warm greeting of whatever we want to choose? And if we're okay with substituting the holy kiss for something else, are there other substitutes that we're okay with for scriptural practices? Are we okay with using other things that are called out in Scripture and saying, well, that was for then, here's how it is today, and we substitute it for something else? And that the subject of substitutions, things that are culturally acceptable today for scriptural principles, that's a big topic. We're not going to dive into that deeply. We want to just think about it more globally, of the idea of substitutions when it comes to scriptural principles. Aaron Shank wrote in an article regarding the Holy Kiss, he says, where professing Christians are no longer shocked at substitutes for the divine decrees, the faintly practiced kiss, as well as other biblical principles, will soon be lost. And I want us to really think about that word shocked that he has in there, where professing Christians are no longer shocked at substitutes. Think about that. As a church, we should be shocked when we allow, let me just back up. When we allow culture to dictate how the church lives out biblical practices, that should shock us. That should cause us to raise up an alarm, like, wait a minute, what? We're allowing culture to tell us how we apply a biblical principle? That should shock us. We should be shocked when we see a church say that we should be shocked when we see a church that says no longer is the headship covering applicable. There are other ways to do that. You can wear a wedding band, or you can just have your hair done however. That should shock us. We should be shocked when culture says that the wedding band is what is needed to indicate marriage. That's what's important for marriage. We need to have that. That should shock us. And the church brings it in and says, yes, that's the way we now symbolize marriage. Or when the culture says it doesn't matter what is on the outside, how you look on the outside, modesty, dressing appropriately, that doesn't matter. It's only what's in the heart. And the church adopts that and says, yeah, that's correct. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. That should shock us. That should shock us when culture dictates how the church applies a biblical principle. So on the subject of substitutes, how does that fit today? You know, as we talked earlier, we noted earlier, a personal greeting, saying hello, shaking somebody's hand, that's not something that's modern, that's new, that came to be since the New Testament was written. And so it begs the question in my mind, if a handshake, if a hello or a personal greeting was around when Paul was penning the epistles and when Peter was penning the epistles, it begs me the question, or it raises the question of, is there importance in the specificness of the scriptures? And so I think we want to be careful when we think about substitutions. I think we want to be careful of how we look at that and how far we let culture direct us in how we apply the scripture. I'd like to wrap up here this morning. It is well time to close. I'd like to wrap up with just some practical considerations. As you can tell from the way that I've been sharing this morning, I believe the Holy Kiss is something for today. I believe it is something that is important and that is part of what God asks of His church to do. And so we want to talk just a little bit about what does that look like. Yes, there are considerations of health and illness. If a person has a cold, if a person is dealing with a sickness, somebody's blowing their nose right now, it's a very appropriate time to not be sharing in the Holy Kiss. That's understandable. That we get it. I would venture to hope or that we're not always sick, that we can never find ourselves in a good health where it would be appropriate. But it's appropriate to refrain from greeting types of the Holy Kiss when there is sickness or something like that that is involved. I have there the idea of practice within the realm of the church, and that is tied to the idea of the homosexual culture that we live in. I would be of the opinion, since it is a holy kiss, it is something for the church, something for the children of God. Practicing sharing the ordinance within the church is a good and safe and appropriate place for it. When we come together within the church, that's a good place for us to share in this ordinance. I would not be of the opinion, this is just my opinion, okay? I would not be of the opinion that when you meet that person at Walmart or Paul B. Zimmerman or Lowe's or wherever you bump into somebody from church, that's maybe not the place for the holy kiss. But when we meet each other within the church, it's a holy kiss. That's a practical, or that's a place where it would be appropriate to share in the holy kiss. The church is a good and appropriate place because it's for the brotherhood. It's for the church. It's for each other. It's not something that I would be of the opinion needs to be on display and but pushed unnecessarily, where it draws thoughts other ways because of the homosexual climate that we live in. So does that mean that every Sunday morning, every Wednesday evening, every Sunday evening, we should be greeting each other with the holy kiss? Or is this just something that happens at communion times or at baptism or at ordinations or just special services we share together in the holy kiss? I don't know. I don't know what the proper cadences or how often Paul had in mind or what the scripture has in mind when it says of the frequency of it, I don't know. My encouragement would be that in applying the scripture and applying the ordinance of the holy kiss, my encouragement be that it is frequent enough that that sharp uncomfortableness is no longer there. I think if we're honest, we'll never, maybe, I should say never, we might not ever really find ourselves where we thoroughly enjoy sharing in the holy kiss. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in that, but desiring to live out God's word should put that behind us, and we desire to be obedient to it. And so my thought would be that we should be able to engage in it, that the uncomfortableness is a little bit less. And so whatever that frequency is, if that's every Sunday morning, if that's sharing it every Sunday morning, that's, I don't know where that line is of how frequently God is, the scripture is calling us to in the sharing of it. But I would love to see it where it's more common or more normal that it doesn't feel as uncomfortable or as awkward. And I think we're clear that when we think about the holy kiss, it is in no way to be construed as a sensual kiss of any sort. It is not, in my opinion, it is not a lip-to-lip kiss as a husband and wife would share. It's a light peck on the cheek. It's a quick experience, a demonstration of, I appreciate you as a brother. I appreciate you as a part of our congregation. I don't see it as a lingering experience, but rather a quick, light peck on the cheek. And I think we're also very understanding and clear that this is only between brothers to brother, sisters to sister. There is no cross-gender sharing of the holy kiss. Not at all. Then it's no longer a holy kiss. It's just a kiss, in my opinion. Maybe if you have a marriage, anyway, we won't get into that. So as we come to a close here this morning, you might be running through your mind, okay, so what is he expecting after the service? What's he thinking about at the end of the service? My encouragement to you is to come talk about it, discuss it, get with somebody around your seat partners, your people you're around. What is God really looking for? What are your thoughts, your objections, your considerations, and talk about it. I am not expecting, okay, I'm not naive enough to expect that everybody this morning is suddenly enthralled with sharing in the holy kiss. I understand that. I would love, it's something, as you can tell from the way I've been sharing from it, I believe it is something that is applicable for today. And I would love to see our churches grow in this ordinance, in the sharing of the holy kiss. I'm not saying that is a requirement for membership or that I'm forcing you in that or of any sort, but I would encourage you to take some time, think about it, talk about it, look into God's word. What is here for us, and how can we draw right application to what's written from God's word? Just a review here of what we talked about this morning. We talked about three different types of greetings mentioned in the New Testament. A personal greeting, very common. Hi, how are you? Hello. We have the right hand of fellowship or the handshake. And we talked about a lot about the holy kiss. We considered four reasons or why the holy kiss today. It's a symbol of love. It's a New Testament command. It is a holy kiss. And it's for all the brethren or for one another. And then we wrapped up here this morning in looking at some considerations, some objections, substitutions, that big subject of substitutions, and just some practical things about it. And so my goal here this morning is to share my perspective on the holy kiss. I don't consider myself to be an expert and knowing all things about it. I'm open to conversation, to dialogue, your objections, your thoughts, your questions, your corrections, anything you have for me, I'm open to that. It's not a closed conversation, but it's an ordinance that it's part of the ordinances, and I think it's important for us to look at it in God's word and what he has for us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word here this morning. And Father, I pray that as we looked at the topic of the holy kiss, that you would help us to make right application to our lives and to how it fits for today as a congregation. And ultimately, we would continue to live in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.